With us tonight in the Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Just a few verses that God laid on my heart. And I got my notes on the wrong side. But I hope tonight they will encourage you and help you. You know, we're always looking for devotions, and the book of Proverbs is a daily devotion. It's really easy to go to. If you can never find a good devotion, just open the book of Proverbs. Amen. Whatever day of the month it is, go to that chapter, Amen. And you got a great devotion. Amen? Amen. Really simple and really easy, and it's a really good one, because it's written by the best that there is. Amen? And, you know, you can read a lot of devotions, and I read a lot of different ones, and I do. I go through a bunch of stuff and look through a bunch of things when I'm looking for and trying to find something for young people sometimes. I try to get things that are oriented to young people sometimes. And, man, some of the things that are out there, it's unreal. There's nothing like the Word. Amen? You get in the Word, there's nothing any better than that. And you can't get a better devotion than what God gives you. In Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read three verses here and hope to encourage you tonight in the Lord. Just to keep on for Him. I tell you what, it gets hard sometimes, and we get tired of traveling the path sometimes, and it's easy to get sidetracked, but He has a prescription here for us to keep on the right path. In verse number 25 of Proverbs chapter number 4, He says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." He said, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its hope. We thank you for the help that it gives us. We thank you for each one that's come this way tonight. And God, help us to see in your word tonight something that helps us, each one as an individual, to be found more faithful unto you, to walk in where you'd have us to be, doing what you'd have us doing. And Lord, we can only do that, God, if we follow your word and follow your plan. And Lord, as your plan is laid out before us here tonight, God, help us, Father, just to grasp what is necessary for each of us in our individualized. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. You know, we can blame a lot of our problems on everything, and we tend to do that sometimes, amen? Even when they're of our own making, we blame them on society. We blame them on the culture around us. We blame them on the people around us. We blame our problems on everything, but most of the times our problems happen because we don't follow God's word. We don't follow His prescription. You know, we get ourselves in situations where we have found ourselves sinning. I'm not talking about you're out in gross immoral sin, but sometimes we start doubting God. Anybody ever doubt God sometimes? Amen. Amen. So sometimes we question God. Amen. We don't know why God allowed things to happen, and we begin to question God. And when we question God, we got to be careful. We're sinning. Amen. God don't mind us coming to Him with a question, but God has a different attitude toward those that have the attitude that they know what's best, that they can correct God, and that they can direct Him and repurpose His motives and His goals. It's real easy to do sometimes. Sometimes we sin when we just don't feel like doing something that we know that we're supposed to do. The Spirit of God speaks to us and tells us to witness, and we're in a situation where we're afraid, and we don't. The Spirit of God speaks to us, and he tells us to give someone a track, and we don't. The Spirit of God tells us we need to stand up for Him and stand up for His cause, and we don't. There are things that we do that aren't gross and moral sins, but just because we don't obey, we have sinned. Amen? There's a way to keep from sinning. Amen? Amen? Then there's the fact of our testimony before the world. It's easy to mar your testimony. You know, a good testimony is something to be desired. Amen? It only takes a second, a moment to mar your testimony. It only takes a second to mar your testimony before your family and your loved ones. Right. Amen? And it can take forever. It can take forever to regain that place that you lost. Amen? It only takes a second to lose your testimony before the people that you work around, those that you've been witnessing to, those that you've been telling that you're a Christian and that you love Jesus and they need Jesus in their heart. It only takes just one moment to lose that testimony. We need to be careful and we need to guard it. And there are ways that we can do that. And it takes sticking to God's plan. There are a lot of things that we need to be mindful of. And there's places where God wants to take us. And there's work that God wants us to do. And I believe there's some people in our church that God wants to use in a good way and in a great way. Amen. I'm thankful that we have somebody that had a burden. Joanne had a burden to do something like what she's doing now. She was running up the road, going up the road, and they were closing the doors. Well, why don't you do it here? If you can do it there, you can do it here. Amen. Now, Tina came to the altar this morning. She wanted to be saved. She had tears in her eyes when she got up. Tears were running down her cheeks. She's got a multitude of problems. And sometimes our problems drive us to Jesus. Amen. Our problems bring us there. But we need to pray for her. Amen. Pray for her immensely. Pray for her wholeheartedly. Pray for her completely. Because somebody had a burden to reach out to people like Tina. And Tina come. We've seen other people in our church. We've seen other people come to our church. Maybe they're not running over here by the droves. But isn't one soul worth doing what God wants you to do? Amen. I remember the brother from Wales that was here and was preaching the cost of salvation. And he preached about the Philippian jailer. What it cost for that man to get saved. It took Paul and Silas getting beat and put in prison. It took the destruction of a whole prison. You know, a whole lot of things happened before that man got saved. But they had to be where God wanted them to be. I believe God's got a job. I believe God's got something for you to do here. And he wants you to do it. And the only way that you're going to fulfill and accomplish what God has you to do is to follow the path that he lays out before you. Amen. When he gives you instruction and he gives you direction, go where he tells you to go. Paul was on his way to Damascus, and when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and he was blinded because of that encounter, I'm sure he had a lot of other plans in his mind at that time after he got blinded than going on to Damascus. But what did God tell him to do? Go down to Damascus. Go down to the street that's called Straight. And somebody's going to meet you there. When he got there, God told Ananias, said, I want you to go over and anoint Saul. And I said, Lord, this is the man that has done all these things? God said, yes. I'm sure that wasn't in Ananias' itinerary, at the top of his itinerary when he woke up that morning. Let's say, here comes the man that's breathing out threatenings and arresting Christians and putting them in prison. I'm going to go meet him this morning. He's probably wanting to go as far away, the opposite way, as he could to get away from that trouble. But that's where God sent him. And that's where he went. And because he went where God sent him, God reminded him what he was going to do with Paul. But God used him to help Paul. Amen? You see how all these little paths that God leads us on, all these places that God sends us, all have a purpose, and it's all God's purpose. But we can only fulfill God's purpose if we go where he wants us when he wants us. Amen? Amen. We got to travel these paths. We got to go down these paths. And then we're instructed in 1 Peter there to follow after the example that Christ has left for us, to follow in his steps. And, you know, the only way you can follow in his steps is to go where he leads you, go where he's been, and follow the direction that he sets before you. And that's what the writer, the preacher in Proverbs is trying to get across to our hearts and to our minds, is that if we're going to follow the path that God wants us to be on, if we're going to follow the destiny that God has for us, if we're going to fulfill the plan that God wants to use us for in this world, we're going to have to go where God wants us to go and stay where God wants us to stay and be where God wants us to be. And the only way we can do that is to follow his plan. Look at what he says in verse number 25. We're told to fix our gaze. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyes look straight before thee. If God has a plan for you, if God has spoke to you, and God has spoken to each and every one of us, God has a plan for each one of us. He's told us all to go into the world to minister. All to go into the world and tell people about Jesus. So first off, we all have our primary plan, our primary goal. Amen? How are we going to fulfill that primary goal? Is to fix our gaze on what he's told us to do. What's the most important thing for you to do in your life and in this world? It's to do what God has told you to do. It's not to eat. Amen? It's not to sleep. It's not to party and have a good time. It's to do what God has told us to do. The most important thing, the most important job you have every day. It's not to feed your kids and feed your family and get up and go to work to bring in money for the household or whatever it is you do, however you want to look at it. The most important goal that you have in your life and everything that you do is to take Christ into the world. But the only way you're ever going to do that is to get your gaze fixed upon where he wants you to be. He said, look here. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids gaze upon what your goal is and what God has for you to do. You're never going to get where you're going if you're looking somewhere else. Right, amen. Amen? You know, when you drive to where you look. When you walk, you're generally walking to where you're looking. Most people don't do real good walking backwards or sideways or anything else. They might make out for a little while, but eventually calamity happens. Amen? You find yourself going to where your eyes are focused. When you shoot, you're going to shoot to where your eyes are focused. Amen? When you are doing almost anything that requires any kind of coordination, you're going to automatically affix yourself to where your eyes are. Amen? That has to become your focal, whatever becomes your focal point. Is where you're going to go. So God tells us very plainly right here in verse number 25, we got to get our gaze fixed on what's important and what his purpose is. He says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Get our gaze fixed. And in Hebrews 12 it says, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. You know what the writer of Hebrews is saying there? He's saying we need to get our gaze fixed in the right place. Amen. We've got all these witnesses around us, everybody telling us about Jesus. We've got all these churches around about us, but unless we get our gaze fixed on Jesus, we're not going to finish the race. Amen? He said, let us run the race that is set before us, but the only way we can hit the finish line is affixing our gaze, getting our focus where it needs to be. Amen? If we focus on Jesus, we'll finish with Jesus. Amen? If we focus on his purposes, we'll fulfill his purpose. If we focus on what his desire is for our lives, we will find ourselves being where he wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do. Amen? Amen? But it takes being focused. It takes getting your heart and your mind set on doing what he would have you to do. I wish they would quit doing that. Pull cars over in the church parking lot. People come by, nobody wants to come in there, all the police are there. What's going on down that place? Had the police there. Oh well. Verse number 26 says, ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the paths of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. He tells us here that we need to take some time and think about what it is that we're doing. Amen? You know, if you just go into something happen, if you just go out in the woods and start walking, pretty soon you're going to be lost. Amen? If you don't ponder where you're going and don't give some thought and consideration to where you're going, you're going to find yourself in trouble real quick. Amen? You might eventually get there, but you're going to go through the briars. You're going to go through the holes, the crawl through the swamps and the streams and the creeks and everything else, and go through every uncomfortable thing there is to get there. But he says, ponder, think about the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. If we take time to think about where we're going before we go there, if we take time to think about what it is that God's wanting us to do and how he wants us to go about it, you know, God calls some people into something and they just rush into it without giving it any thought. Right. Well, God's going to take, well, God calls us into things, but he expects us to use a little common sense. Amen. Amen. He gives us that ability to think about how to do this, how to accomplish it, how we're going to get it done. He says, ponder, take some time. You know, when you take time to ponder the path that you're on, to ponder where you're going and give diligence to it, he says, then when you take the next step, you can be assured of where you're walking. And when you take the next step, because you've thought it out, you're sure of where you're going. When you're sure this is where God wants you to be. You've pondered it. You haven't rushed into something. You've given it due diligence to think, well, is this what God wants me to do? Is this where God wants me to go? If it is, I'm going, and I'm going to go how God wants me to go. God prepares the way before me. Amen. The children of Israel had to go into the promised land. They had to go in blindly. Amen. They already heard there were giants there and there were great cities there and there were all these obstacles there, because 40 years earlier, their ancestors, their relatives had told them, man, we can't do this. It's bigger than us. And God took care of all the naysayers. And he reminded their offspring that were going to go into the promised land, I'm going to go before you. Amen. I will drive out the nations before you, but just follow me and just do what I want you to do and just do it how I tell you to do it. When it come time to go into the promised land, they just didn't come to the River Jordan and all just rush across the River Jordan at one time. God laid out the plan on how to cross the River of Jordan. As a matter of fact, God made provision for them because they waited on him. He dried up the river. Amen. God ever dry up any rivers for you? Amen. You ever come to a place where you just didn't know how you was going to get through something done, and you knew God wanted you to do it, and he dried the river up for you? Amen. Let me tell you, God can dry the rivers up. God can dry the streams up. Amen. He's done it before, and he can do it again. They get into the promised land, the first thing they see is Jericho. That great city. Now, how are we going to take care of this? How are we going to deal with this? God had a plan. Amen. Don't rush into it. Ponder the past. Ponder what you're going to do. And they did things according to God's plan, and God destroyed Jericho. But they did what God told them to do. They took time to ponder. They took time to give thought to what God... It didn't make sense. Does that make sense to you? Let's walk around the city not making noise. We're going to walk around the city 7 times. And then on the 7th day, we're going to walk around 7 times. And then we're going to shout. And the walls are going to fall down. Now, come on. You're looking back in hindsight in 2020 and you're saying, oh, yeah. Well, how about God puts a Jericho in you? How many? God puts Jerichos in our way sometimes. And we either got to trust God to deal with them, or we're going to act on our own accord. Stop and think about this for a minute. Ponder your decision. We've got an account book here of the times that God has got things done. Of the times that God has got things accomplished. The ways that God accomplished them that didn't seem normal. And they weren't. Because we don't serve a normal God. We serve an almighty, infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God. He don't do things the way that we think. He does things the way that he knows. He don't have to think about how to do it. He knows how to do it. So we need to ponder where God is leading us. Ponder what it is that God wants us to do. And not rush off headlong into it. Over in James there, chapter 4, he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. We need to take time to ponder what it is that God wants us to do. I don't mean sit down and do nothing and say I'm pondering. But we need to be prayerfully seeking where God wants us to go. Prayerfully seeking what God wants us to do. Prayerfully seeking how God wants us to accomplish something. Brother Steve gave a testimony this morning. I appreciate it. You know, when you learn to give things to God and let God deal with it, it always turns out best. Amen. Brother Steve told me when he started pastoring, he said, the best advice you ever gave me was not to rush into things, to pray about it and let God deal with it. And most of the times, God takes the problem out of the way before you ever have to deal with it. He said, that's the best advice you ever. And you know, that's still the best advice. James is saying, you know, we make plans and we decide we're going to do things. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. We don't know what we're going to face. That's why we need to seek God's face. We need to ponder our path and seek God's direction and ask God for his leadership. Ask God for his guidance and ask God to show us so that every step we take is a sure step. Every move that we make is a sure move. Every decision, every function that we go to make sure that everything is happening the way that God wants us to happen is happening the way that God wants it to. And not the way that we're prone to. Young men and young women, they get married. They're in love. And they get married. And then they find out a few months down the road they wasn't in love, they was in lust. There's a big difference. They didn't give time to ponder the path that they were taking. They didn't give due diligence unto letting God direct their path. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Let me ask you, teenagers, don't you have to raise your hand. How many of you are already praying for God's man or God's woman in your life? Amen. I didn't ask her hand. One just shot her hand straight up. That's the way it needs to be done. Amen. That's the way the Bible says to do it. Amen. Amen. And then, when you do it God's way, we was young when we got married. Everybody said, they'll never last. They're not going to make it. They're crazy. That's been 45 years ago. We're still waiting for it not to work. Amen. But God had a plan. God made a provision. God made a way. Ponder. Ponder the path that your way might be established. You know what it means to be established? It means it can be sure. When you do it God's way, it's the sure way. When you do it God's way, it's the right way. When you go where God wants you to go, you've got to the right destination. Take time to let God direct you. Don't rush into things. Even when God calls you to something, seek God's face and his direction and how he wants you to do it. And you know what? He'll tell you how to do it. He calls you to something, it might seem impossible. It might seem unrealistic, but I remind you, so did Jericho. I remind you, so did Goliath. Amen. I remind you, read through the Bible and you find out that every time that seemed impossible, God showed that there was nothing impossible for him. Amen. And then in verse 27, he says, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He reminds us not to get carried away by distractions. You know, when we keep our focus on Christ, amen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we keep that in the forefront of our minds, in the forefront of our hearts, it's not easy to get distracted. Somebody that's building a business and has a drive to build a business. His focus is on his business. And he gets up, he's focused on his business. He goes to bed, he's focused on his business. And the distractions come along. And sometimes the family is a distraction. And he has to stay focused on the business because his family is dependent on his livelihood. And he has to forsake something. You know, there's times in my life I didn't make it to every ball game. I didn't make it to every school concert. I was busy making a living out of town when they were real little most of the time. But we got to stay focused. Distractions are everywhere. I know people who are always complaining about their finances, to complain about their money, but every time you turn around, they're going on a trip somewhere. I mean, if my finances were that bad, I'd be focused on my finances and getting that in order instead of running up and down the road. Their finances are bad, and every time you turn around, they're buying something else. They bought this and they bought that. Well, you've lost focus of what your problem is. You said you got a problem with your finances. Focus on that. Don't get distracted. That's what I'm saying. They get distracted. And pretty soon, they're back in the same mess. They're not getting out of the mess that they're in because they got distracted. Pretty soon, they're not even on the path they were on. They're down here now because they got distracted. They're worse off than what they were before. We got goals in life, and we got plans laid out, and we got direction that God has given us, and we were trying to fulfill all these things, but it's real easy to get distracted. 1 Corinthians 15 is, everybody kind of relegates it to funeral message when they're talking about in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be raised incorruptible, corruption's going to put on incorruption and all that. But the last part of chapter 15, the last verse, I've always loved that verse. But verse 57 and 58 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus, Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, when we get distracted from what is important, it's vanity. He said, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. The path that the Lord has before us is not a vain way to go. It's where we need to be. It's what we should be doing. It's the path we should be following. There are all kinds of distractions along the way. People are distractions. Probably the biggest distraction we have on doing what God wants us to do is people. Amen. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's co-workers. They distract you. Amen. I know it used to be, it seemed like every time it was time to go to church, company would show up. Sunday evening, time to go to church. About the time you're ready to walk out the door, company would show up. Distraction. Amen. People call me all the time, well, Pastor, I didn't make it to church, my kids. You know, they used to tell me in the Navy, they said, well, we don't want to hear your excuses. I said, all everybody comes in and says, my wife, she, my kids, they, and my dog, it. They didn't come in your sea bag. They're not our problem. That's exactly what they told you. They're not their problem. They didn't want any distractions. They wanted you holy. God doesn't want distractions. He don't want people to be a distraction. Don't let things be a distraction. The devil will let your kids be a distraction. Amen? That precious little boy and that precious little girl sitting next to you is an instrument that the devil will use to be a distraction. The devil will use your spouse to be a distraction. Deb says, oh my gosh, you're going to get on me. She said, I don't even talk to him before. She tells people, I don't even talk to him before church. I don't even want to, something will come up and it'll wind up in the sermon somewhere. But you know what? The devil can use her to be a distraction to me more than probably most anybody else. He can use me to be a distraction to her more than anybody else because we're one flesh. He'll use your spouse to be a distraction. Amen. He'll use your parents to be a distraction. He'll use anything he can to keep you from fulfilling what God wants you to do. Things can become a distraction. People buy campers and pretty soon you never see them on Sunday. It becomes the new golden calf. They buy a boat. It becomes the new golden calf. They buy a new car, new hot rod. It becomes the new golden calf. It's all more important than what God would have you to do. You done lost sight of his direction. You done got distracted. You done destroyed your testimony because all these people that are hanging out with you that know that you're a Christian and now you got this camper and, you know, it's one thing. Some people will go away and when they go away, they go to church. Some people think that when they go away, it's a vacation and they get a vacation from church. I've never figured that mentality out. And if you fall into that groove, you need to start thinking about when I go away on vacation, I still need to go to church. Amen. Let me tell you what, there's a church everywhere you go that needs somebody's backside sitting in a pew so that you can hear the Word of God. Amen. Amen. I haven't been to many that are so crowded there's not a room for one or two more. Amen? We can let things become a distraction. We can let society become a distraction. We can let other paths become a distraction. There's all kinds of things that we can let distract us. But we need to stay focused. We need to keep our eyes set on the goal, set on the purpose. And when the distractions come our way, say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. When the devil uses that individual that's plucking your last nerve and trying to set you off, to say, get thee behind me, Satan. When you're driven to the place to where you're so angry that, I'm just going to use Brother Steve's testimony this morning, man. That was good enough. Even if it was illegal, he was ready to do it. You know what that was? That was a distraction. You know what that would have done? That would have destroyed his testimony. Amen. And you know who knew that? The devil. We was teaching in Sunday school this morning. You know, we're either led by the Spirit or we're led by the flesh. We're going to be led one way or the other. And when we're led by the flesh, we leave a void, a vacuum there that the devil is just waiting to fill. He can't wait to fill it. You know, Jude is talking about these mockers that come in and bring in all the false doctrine and all the false teaching. He said they don't have this spirit. They're lustful. They're self-willed, self-centered, focusing on self. And when you focus on self, there's a spiritual void that's left open that the devil will fill in a heartbeat, just looking for the opportunity. Don't let him. Don't let him. Keep yourself on your knees. Keep yourself pondering the path that's before you. That way you won't get distracted. Keep yourself focused on what the goal is, what the prize that Jesus has set before you. Sometimes he's not the prize. Sometimes he's a prize, the final prize, the great prize. But sometimes there's a soul in the way, a soul that needs to be saved, a life that needs to be changed, a heart and a soul that needs to hear the message. I didn't know who the message was for this morning. She said right here and told you she got a drug problem. Dealing with a drug problem, and we know her from the pantry. She's been here to church before. Thank God something's speaking to her. Something's drawing her. She has a need. Amen. And God knows what the need is. And he can fill the void in her life, just like he can fill the void in my life. But we got to stay focused on where he wants us to be. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Seek God's plan for your life. Make him and his plan your focus. Set your sights, your thoughts, your desires on him. Look to his word. Seek his face. And don't let nothing in this world distract you from being who God wants you to be. And going where God wants you to go. And doing what God wants you to do.